It is some Sunday night slow jams with your hosts, the Pro Wrestling Off Topic fellas. We're talking sensual excitement in the ring, lack of clothing. That's right, tights and other things. It's Zach Hagenbusher and Joshua Yeager. It's Pro Wrestling Off Topic, episode 161. This one goes out to all you San Antonio sweat hogs.
This one goes out to all the sweat hogs.
Are you steamy? Are you ready for some sensual wrestling news? It's the countdown to WrestleMania. Let's be honest. It's the countdown to WrestleMania. There's a whole lot of excitement in the NJPW world. Naito's got a new challenger. AEW's got some new stars that they're flashing around. Excitement. Saying the same promos week after week. It's really great. And TNA might lose their best tag team of all time.
Maybe we should start right there, because that's a great thing to bring up, Joshua. It's part of There's this rumors. Fall of TNA. I mean, it's ironic it's as hell that here we were coming into the beginning of 2024. They got me to watch not just one, but two TNA pay-per-views live this year. Which I did. I've watched them. I watched two TNA shows live, and I couldn't have enjoyed them more. I thought that was a great amount of wrestling.
Yeah,
that absolutely. Was a really good show in both cases. And yet here we are with morale backstage extremely low, and that they're just like, yeah, no, we're bringing you in per date. That's what I hear.
Yeah,
I hear that it's just there's no contracts anymore. It's rough.
Yeah, that is rough. That's the rumors going around. Now, what can you actually, you know, what can be actually taken as rumor? What can be taken as fact? That's the difficult part of this. But it doesn't sound good. There's been a lot of changes. Obviously, we talked about Scott D'Amore being let go, the morale, the group, the wrestling, how they opened up the last pay-per-view with Eric Young talking about like all these changes coming, but like TNA will still stand tall. Well, the issue is now that contract talks are happening with certain wrestlers that their contracts are coming up, which is really strange. It doesn't make sense. This is inconsistent because Josh Alexander had an option on his contract that was up at the end of February, where he could be extended another year, which is a contractual year, or he could work date per date. And they decided to extend him a year. So he is now under contract until the end of February 2025. Now, great. That's awesome. Great for Josh Alexander. And they literally just signed Alex Hammerstone to a contract as well. So these news reports are not necessarily consistent. There is a lot of confliction going there. But the biggest news that I've heard is the Motor City Machine Guns, their contracts are up at the end of March, I believe, the end of this month or else April. I can't recall when it was. Hopefully it's not until after Rebellion on April 20th. But it sounds like they want the Motor City Machine Guns to work date by date on a, you know, handshake agreements. Here's your paycheck for your week, whatever. And then, you know, we'll see in a month rather than signing them to a contract. And while I can understand TNA's perspective, because as far as the Motor City Machine Guns go, and they just signed who's their buddy, why can't I think of his name,
Kushida.
Geez, I want to say Okada, but yeah, Kushida. They just signed Kushida too, so why would they keep Kushida and not have the Machine Guns? It's weird because
Great wrestler, but I see what you mean. Wrestler. I see what you mean.
Why would they? Yeah, they just signed him. As far as the Motor City Machine Guns go, I can see why they'd say, you know what, like, hey, you know, what more can they do as a tag team in TNA? What more can they do in Impact? What more could they possibly do? They were the greatest, you know, potentially the greatest of all time. It's arguable between them and Beer Money, maybe some Team 3D, maybe, you know, a few other groups here and there. But like, really, Machine Guns are consistently a wonderful tag team. However, and maybe Chris Sabin too. Chris Sabin, what more could he possibly do? He's a legend in TNA. He'll be a Hall of Famer, I assume, at some point.
What more could Alex Shelley possibly do? He's finally completed his career journey. He's been he's also won every belt that they've put in front of him now.
Agreed. However, I think Alex Shelley is the one caveat to the whole idea, because he should be signed as a singles wrestler. He is a sensational talent. He is a main eventer. He is someone I'd like to see either be back elevated to the main event scene or else in a lengthy feud with Nick Nemeth. Like, how fucking amazing would that be? Which brings us to this Friday, Nick Nemeth versus Alex Shelley. They're calling it a generational match. That should be the first match. That should actually not be necessarily given away for free on TV. It should be interrupted so that way they can build up to a Slammiversary or build up to Bound for Glory. I don't know. I'm just saying this has got me a little nervous. I hate hearing all this contract talk. I want them to be able to be powerful and continue forward and build the roster up again. Because, I mean, adding Nick Nemeth, adding, the Grizzled Young Vets, they added... I'm blanking on a lot of names right here, but they just added Ash by Elegance. What was her name? Dana Brooke.
Yes. Yeah.
Like they've added a good chunk of people to their core roster to continue to move forward. So that like all this bad news that's coming out all of a sudden is like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Like, how can the Machine Guns contracts be up? Like, stop. Just fucking extend these guys. Like, let's get this going. Like, I don't know. So I guess we'll find out. We'll see.
I mean,
I hate the week to week contract thing because then they'll just disappear and be on AEW in a week. So whatever.
Yeah, I think that, you know, maybe I don't know for sure whether or not they would get brought into one of the other companies right now. But then again, I mean, their stock's probably never been higher in that front. You know, they've both shown that here they still are at their, you know, no offense to them in any way. But I mean, they are getting older on the wrestling spectrum, right? They have more years behind them than they do in front of them in the ring at this point. I think anybody could say that. But then again, who knows, I guess. Wrestling is weird now. You can be, you know, 60. You can be, well, obviously Chris Jericho isn't 60, but he's like, you know, 50,
he's close. He's 50.
54, 55, 52. Right?
Nah, he's only like 51 or 52.
51 or 52, really? Well, he doesn't look good. He looks 54 or 55.
No, he's aged pretty rapidly, but when he was AEW champ, he was only 48, so.
I got you. Well, I mean, that was a while ago now, though.
4 years ago.
I mean,
ago.
That was 4 years ago. Over 4 years ago. But still, you know, hey, 52, he's out there, you know, freaking not even actually doing the job for Hook. I couldn't help but laugh.
53.
Because he sat there, Joshua, in this red rum submission hole, and he just got out of it. He just wriggled his way free of the Taz mission, of Hook's dreaded finish, his tap people out with time and time again. Jericho just kind of wriggled free.
Oh, no. Yeah.
But
it's a weird,
but
it's a weird thing.
Then Hook got to like roll him up and pin him. So I guess that means he's getting over. Anyway, all of that is to say, guess what? I don't want to see the Motor City Machine Guns in AEW. I would want to see them in TNA. I want to see them stay in TNA.
Same.
But you know what?
Same.
I don't think they're going to be. It doesn't seem that way anyway. I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. What I do know is that I watched that TNA. What was it? Sacrifice? Was that the one that was last on here?
Sacrifice just happened. Yep.
Eric Young and Moose. That main event kind of stunk up the joint. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And at least in my opinion, EY, you know, he couldn't really move.
Yeah, he's at that weird age now where I think I wouldn't say his prime is past him, but he's definitely like not on the same level. Not that Eric Young was ever a plus guy to begin with.
But and that's Moose, the problem. He wasn't.
He never was. No, we've seen Moose, though, when he's with the right dance partner.
Oh, yeah.
Put on amazing.
He had an amazing match with Shelley the month or two prior.
Yeah,
and exactly. I'm sure that when he gets in there with Nemeth, because he will.
Oh,
that's going to be wild.
That's happening at Rebellion. Yeah, I want to see that. Like, I think that's going to be great. The only thing is if you see Moose wrestling, if there's ever a misstep or a moment in the match where you're like, he's only putting in 80%, he knows he's losing. When he's the main guy and he's on his way to winning, he puts in 110%. If he knows he's on a bigger stage, and even if he is losing, he'll put on 110%. Like him and Kenny Omega was spectacular. When they did that at Daly's Place, an Impact pay-per-view at Daly's Place. Crazy to think that ever happened. But but anyway, I think that's pretty much where I'm going with this is TNA. A lot of good things happening, but a lot of scary things too. So it's kind of like, it's not all good news. Of course, why can't it all be good news? But it seemed like January was a year ago already on how far back it was when everybody was so
I know.
So geeking over TNA and fucking Jordan Grace appearing in the Rumble and like all that stuff. It just like seems like talks on all that is ending. However, weirdly enough, we are going to get in a couple of weeks, we're actually going to get a WWE versus TNA match. Did you hear about this? At GCW is having Shayna Baszler versus Baszler. Shayna Baszler versus Masha Slamovich. TNA's Masha
Slamovich. Holy shit! For real?
That was signed, and they're advertising it as WWE's Shayna Baszler. Sorry, against TNA's Masha Slamovich.
That is pretty freaking awesome because
on WrestleMania weekend. That's
Shayna is not. I really enjoy Shayna when she's allowed to fucking work the match that she's good at working, which they will let her do. Like, Masha's going to...
definitely.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be awesome. I have no doubt that match will be excellent.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, that's cool. And then, yeah, that was what came out publicly this week, you know, when they announced her for the card. Hunter is apparently, I have a different view. You know, or whatever. It's like, okay, so literally, Papa Triple H, like, not only, okay, so Triple H had a big win. This is kind of getting off onto a different topic a little bit, but it's also tying into the same thing. So Triple H had himself a big win this past week because none other than Ronda Rousey, one of the most high-profile women to ever compete in WWE or the world of pro wrestling, period, her second memoir is being released, and she's doing a signing WrestleMania weekend in the Philadelphia area. And in this particular book, she goes pretty hard into Vince McMahon and the culture that existed in WWE at the time of her performing there.
The casting coach culture?
Precisely. In so many words, that's pretty much what she says, which it's... The way that she says it in the book, and this is my opinion based off of what I've read from the excerpts. Now, I read the whole book. I don't know Ronda Rousey. I could be completely wrong. I'm talking out of my ass. I'm on a podcast. That's what we do. I don't think that Ronda was writing these things from the perspective of someone who was personally treated that particular way. She appears to be supporting the testimony and the things that have come out from the victims of Vince and other people that have come out recently. But she did have quite a bit to say about their booking. she did not enjoy her time there the second time around. It is obvious that when they brought her back here for 2022-2023, things were very acrimonious there. So it is curious to me that Shayna, who is such a tight person with Ronda, not only did Ronda put over Triple H in this same book, but now Triple H is getting this good guy cred for letting Shayna go and wrestle this match for GCW or MLW or whatever the hell it is.
It's GCW.
Okay, gotcha. So yeah, GCW. I knew it was Josh Barnett's Bloodsport, which I think So I think they used to maybe run it with MLW, but now it's GCW. Anyway, the point being, it's pretty wild to see all of this come together. Good for Hunter that it appears that he's also not one of the corporate officers listed in that lawsuit. Turns out it was Stephanie who was the person who we all thought was Hunter. I think we all assumed based on Stephanie's reaction to the whole thing when things were going down, that it was because she was disgusted. But apparently she knew about it for a very long time and just kind of chilled, and maybe that's why she quit, because she figured she'd be asked to leave.
so crazy.
I don't know that's a whole nother topic in itself, but all of this is to say WWE, things are going in a very good direction right now for them in a lot of different ways, but it's terrible to me at the same time, because I don't know if it's just like the way that the algorithm is running right now for all these social media sites. But Joshua, do you feel like it's more toxic right now, this debate, this fan war between AEW and WWE, or WWE fans and literally any other wrestling that exists out there? Like, I don't know. It just seems like it's a vortex of negativity everywhere you look.
Absolutely.
Everywhere you look.
That is absolutely true. I do feel that. Honestly, and it's got a lot to do with people that are either in two different camps. You either defend the fandom that you enjoy, the company that you enjoy, or you hate it, and you constantly are trolling and bashing it. And that's sort of funny because, you know, sometimes when something really dumb happens, or something happens, and I, you know, say, well, I knew that was going to happen. You know, I come across almost like a troll in that certain way because AEW right now, for whatever reason, for me, has this magnifying glass where it's like, God, I wish I could just have the book for a month. I swear I could fix this fucking company. You know, like, what is happening with it? Why are they doing this booking? Why are these guys who should be putting over other talent constantly winning and just looking like idiots and getting more TV time? And it's just, you know, it's giving me a headache. So, like, I don't know, man. There's two different camps, and it's the same in every fandom, no matter what you like. If you like TNA, there's 150 TNA idiots that are in there saying how shitty it is. Same thing with AEW, same thing with WWE. It's like, you're going to get that no matter what fandom, no matter what company you're a part of. There is a very small snippet, too, a very small pocket of the community that loves it all, that just supports it all. They go to indie shows, they go to whatever companies that are close, they support it all, they watch it all, and they love it. And that's the thing. Man, in the 90s and the 2000s, you know, our upbringings, if we had wrestling every single night of the week and we had all these different avenues and different abilities to watch wrestling, we could just pop on YouTube and watch episodes of TV shows. If we could watch on streaming services for $6.99 a month, dude, we'd be in heaven. And not to say that everything is as good as it was back then, because it most certainly is not. But man, the options out there are phenomenal. So, like, I think it is, there's too much ability to watch really great wrestling. If you got NJPW World, you are set with the finest wrestling product on the planet. And that's $10 a month, or a 999 yen, which is like $7.99 or something.
But the,
like,
finest pure wrestling.
Pure wrestling.
Like sport-based, sport-presented wrestling. If that's what you're looking for, nobody does it like they do. Nobody.
You want wonderful 20-minute bell-to-bell matches and incredibly terrible Jack Perry promos. You've got it, NJPW.
You've got it.
You want it? You got it, pal. Who's apparently still under contract with AEW. Tony's just very mad at him.
Oh, he's very mad at him?
Very mad at him because he cost him CM Punk.
Yeah, he didn't fucking cost him anything. CM Punk cost him CM Punk. Oh, my God. So that's really it? So
that's
Jack,
really it.
Jack, no. Okay.
Yeah.
But the thing is... Yeah. Jack Perry's on. I was going to say Jack Perry's on-screen character is literally scapegoat. It's got to be a story.
Yeah, basically.
There's no way that they would hold that against him for long. I mean, he's not the one who threw a fucking punch. All he did was say something into a camera. At the end of the day, that's not culpable to anything. But that's my opinion, anyway.
That's another big, it's interesting. Like you're saying, though, toxic fandom, people getting too much into it, people complaining about too much instead of just enjoying it. Why are you even watching it? Why are you even a part of it? If you can't just enjoy the thing, why are you just toxic?
Right, it's like,
why are you just ripping it apart?
You can't even sell out TV, though. And it's like,
it was but you said it in front of an empty audience there, buddy. Look at all those empty seats.
Look at all
who
those.
Who the fuck cares?
Well, but also look at all those empty seats. So you want me to go back and show you the pictures of the Vince McMahon WWE fucking trying to tour the country, and they were in literally the exact same situation, drawing half empty buildings no matter where they went?
Yeah,
that's when there's a reason why AEW exists. Yes, you're correct. They're not the number one company. They're not drawing the same audience as WWE does. Frankly, they're drawing a worse audience than they should be, considering the level of talent that they employ. But
they do.
But that doesn't mean that they can't produce great wrestling matches. They did produce some really good wrestling matches, you know, this past Dynamite. Okada, Kazuchika Okada, is the Continental Champion.
He certainly is.
He beat Eddie Kingston in a pretty good brawl, a memorable brawl that left Okada with a welted chest and Kingston with no belt. Funny enough, because he was losing the belt, he didn't show up with his other two belts. Probably.
He's still the ROH champion, though, isn't he?
He's both the ROH champion and the NJPW Strong champion still. So
He's about to lose them all.
Yeah, I think he might be. Yeah, I think that's the idea. The Triple Crown is dead. But, you know, this is another thing in AEW that's just going to disappear, you know, with no explanation. Oh, nope. Eddie Kingston lost the belt. No more Triple Crown. He was defending all three. Never mentioned again. It's just gone. I don't know. Maybe that's just wrestling, though. You know, I don't know.
It is. Things move on. People move on. It generally does happen. But I mean, honestly, in the Eddie Kingston situation in his career, I mean, this is if this is the best it's ever going to be for Eddie Kingston, which it very well could be. This is good. Is very cool.
Oh,
winning all the belts, him beating some legendary wrestlers, him holding the championship belt, him beating Bryan Danielson. It's all good. Like, it's all very good. And, you know, I don't ever want to sound negative or body shame or anything at all about Eddie Kingston. I don't know what it is, what his career has longevity of what he's going to do. He's been doing this for a very long time. But like, in terms of giving the fans what they want, you can give the hard mark wrestlers Eddie Kingston all day long. The thing is he's not going to be the main guy ever. He's not even as likable as like a Mick Foley. You know, Mick Foley had a certain specific look. I don't think he is. I don't think he is that kind of guy that's going to be able to get to that next level. He's great as a high mid-carder, maybe even low main event possibility, but maybe I don't think he's ever going to be AEW world champion.
I don't know, dude. There are two, maybe it depends on his opponent, but the two programs that I've been the most into from him were his feud with Jon Moxley back in 2020. I mean, granted, that was pandemic AEW, so they were really kind of relying on a lot of people that they might not have wanted to/needed to rely on if things had been quote unquote normal.
The exploding fart ring.
No. I was talking about before that. They had a match. I think it was Full Gear 2020. I think that was their match. That was it.
It's crazy to think, though, that was 4 years ago. I think his
coming up on it, yeah.
His physical condition is worse now, though.
He didn't
look great tonight. I'll be honest, he didn't look great. He looked like he got out of his pajamas and got out of bed and just got in the ring.
Well, I think that gear is like, because he usually wears kind of like army looking pants. And like this looked like a specific outfit. Like, it looked like maybe something he was doing to look like, maybe it was gear inspired by somebody in Japan. I don't know. Like, he had like a coat that he wore to the ring too. Like, it was clearly a getup. It was a getup.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It, to me anyway, it looked like it was an obvious homage to something. Or I don't think this is his new look. I don't think Eddie's going to be wearing this gear permanently. If he does, you're right, that would be a terrible look.
Well, hopefully he doesn't stick with it, because my goodness, they're apparently 0-1. So let's get out of the loser.
Exactly.
Get out of the loser pajamas there.
Get out of those loser pajamas. Those Shinsuke Nakamura loser jumpsuit.
The Shinsuke not going to win many matches.
Wow.
I actually love Eddie Kingston. I really do. I love Eddie
Kingston. I know. It's true. But no, it's just another, you know, AEW's a grab bag. They do positive things. They do negative things. Okada winning the belt, a positive. Mercedes Moné coming out and cutting the exact same promo that she did last week. And then after her debut episode in front of her hometown, the main event segment, she saves Willow Nightingale. She raises Willow Nightingale's arm. She acknowledges Willow Nightingale, Roman Reigns style. The very next week on Dynamite, she's mad at Willow Nightingale. You've done enough, Willow.
Wow. What is
You've
that
done
all?
Enough.
Did she forget what happened last week?
No, apparently last week she had forgotten that Willow was the person who beat her in 2023 and broke her ankle. And this week she remembered that. So I guess last week was when they fucked up. Except Weird. That you already set the tone with her first appearance. So you should stick consistently with the thing that you did on TV the very last week. Like, this is why people stopped watching WWE. this is why AEW exists.
You'll have to forgive me for not watching tonight, though. I did not watch Dynamite. But what do you mean? Did she actually acknowledge the fact that Willow broke her ankle?
Yeah, well, she did not, but Stokely did. Stokely Hathaway did. Like, on screen said, she broke your ankle, or you broke her ankle. Ha, 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 ha. Like,
what the hell?
Like, it's a thing on TV now that Willow has broken Mercedes' ankle, even though last week they played really coy about that in the video where they were like, yeah, and I even faced Mercedes Moné. Oh, you faced her, huh? Like, they did not directly mention it in the video, and yet now here we are. Literally, blah, this blah, stinks. Blah, yeah. This stinks of they all showed up this week, and they started talking about the story and went, you know, actually, it would make a lot more sense if we should do this instead. Oh, yeah, and then you should say this. Oh, yeah, Stokely, it's a great idea. You should then say that. Talk about, oh, yeah, really dig it in and make it seem real. You know what I mean? It sounds like they're sniffing their own farts, to borrow a phrase.
Yeah, and definitely book it on the fly because man, I don't know, dude. I don't know. And you know what? I actually did. So flipping through a couple things here, I did catch a couple things, and we're going to move on from the Sasha Banks Mercedes Moné thing, because it's too early to really decide on whether it's a flop already or not. But
I mean, she's obviously got to get in there and wrestle. But the problem is these segments do not bode well to me. That's all I'm saying.
Speaking of segments that do not bode well, this is my segue. The Adam Cole promo, I thought was shit. Dude, I don't know what the deal is with this. The storyline has just fallen so flat. But when he's calling out Wardlow and saying, you will keep our championship belts together, and I'm not mad at you, but I'm just disappointed in you for losing. You had one job. The one job was to win the AEW World Heavyweight title, which I don't believe any of the rest of the fucking United Undisputed Kingdom or whatever the hell they call themselves now has ever done. So, like, it's weird. Like,
Roddy Strong has secured the international title, and technically, the Kingdom Geeks are Ring of Honor tag team champions. So the idea being that Wardlow would have also had a title, and then they all would have had a title.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Besides Adam Cole, who can't wrestle, right?
Yeah.
How silly. Can you believe that one little hop off a freaking lip, one little hop off a stage, Adam Cole would be the AEW World Champion right now?
Yes, he would. And Samoa Joe would not having the run that he'd have.
It would not be.
Crazy. Not to say that I think Samoa Joe's reign has been amazing so far, but it's really good. It's been very good. When are they getting MJF back? What's happening here? Ever?
I don't know. Anymore? What I will say is...
He's going to be at Mania? Maybe he'll be at Mania.
What I will say is a little tidbit for all the fans out there. The next AEW pay-per-view is called Dynasty, and MJF was part of a group in MLW, Major League Wrestling, known as Dynasty. So, this very well could be a subtle hint at the return of Maxwell.
I think it'd be even better if Maxwell Jacob Friedman costed Cody the World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania instead.
That's not going to happen, obviously.
Why not?
Because he's he's under contract to AEW. Of course
he is. I thought he wasn't.
Of course he is. Of course he is. Yes, we're sure. We are 100% sure. Are you kidding?
Why were they talking for 24 months saying the bidding war of 2024
They weren't. They were until the back half of 2023 when it became clear and obvious that MJF was going to hold this belt through the end of the year. Except that, ironically enough, he lost it on December 31st.
I know.
And then...
Just
disappeared without
anything,
yeah.
It's
strange. But he is still signed to AEW. He is still there, and he will be coming back. Whenever he comes back, we'll find out. But I mean, they need him, Joshua. They need him. The company's dead without him. I wouldn't. He's their one major piece, in my opinion. Without Kenny and Okada not being fully up to speed here with the American audience yet. He's their one thing that's keeping them relevant, in my opinion. Without him, they take a big step down. They're looking at like TNA levels, in my opinion.
I agree. I agree. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't know. It's not great no matter what. I am not sold on the idea that MJF is under contract to AEW. If he is, that's great. They need to start using him. They need to bring him back. Wasn't he shooting a film or something like that? I just don't know. I don't understand how.
No, he broke his, he busted his shoulder. He had to get surgery.
Yeah, but still, he's
he did
a character.
That big. Didn't you see the? You saw that. Well, maybe you didn't, but there was a. He did a really stupid spot in the Jay White match at Full Gear. He like the table, the announce table broke when it wasn't supposed to. He was supposed to do an elbow drop through the table. But because the table was broken, he was like, okay, well, the crowd is already like up here and I want the crowd to like stay up here. So I'm just going to do the spot. And it's like, Max, you're an idiot.
With the table that was already, it was basically straight to the ground.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yes. So he, surprise, surprise, fucked up his shoulder and needs surgery. Yeah. So yeah, I think that is the, and maybe at least that's what he claimed, right? Maybe it's all storyline, but that's what he said. He needed shoulder surgery. So could he recover in that from 4 months? Could he be back at this Dynasty pay-per-view? I think it's possible.
Maybe he'll be back by Mania. I guess that's true.
He's not going to be back by Mania, dude. He's not going to be at Mania. He's not allowed to be there contractually.
What do you, so another, speaking of rumors and all this, because tonight's just rumors, I guess we're talking.
That's right. We're really, really in the dirt of the dirt sheets.
Rebellion, TNA Rebellion, that is, takes place on 420, Zach.
Oh, does it really?
It really does.
Be a rebel with us, dude. We're bringing in Rob Van Dam for one more night. RVD.
Oh, actually,
the whole effing show.
Actually, that's really funny because I actually was going in a different direction. I thought I have a feeling. I have a feeling they're going to sign Matt Riddle.
Yo,
that's the rumor. That's
well,
the rumor.
Yeah, I mean, he's been. You know, who else is working? Who else is a reigning New Japan champion that is also working in TNA right now? Oh yeah, that's right, Nick Nemeth.
Nick Nemeth,
the NJPW Global Champion. And yeah, wouldn't that be something if the NJPW World Television Champion Matt Riddle showed up in TNA? I would welcome it. I'd welcome him with open arms.
I would too.
You know what? The dude clearly, you know, I think that he got, it was revealed or he confessed on a podcast recently that he got fired from WWE because they found cocaine in his system. It's like, well, I can't say like I support that idea. I don't want him to do that. You know, to himself or his, you know, his, obviously he's got a family, he's got young kids and stuff. And I don't, you know, who knows what, you know, that kind of relationship is even like at this point. But
yeah,
he's a great, he's a really good wrestler. he's a good wrestler. He's a good physical performer. He's a good athlete. He's been in combat sports for a long time. Like, I don't know. It's, I'm of two minds about it, right? It's like, well, everyone supported Jeff Hardy for years.
Multiple
Jeff Hardy
times,
gets to keep showing up at wrestling shows and doing his shit. And Riddle is in way better shape than Jeff Hardy maybe has ever even been. So like, by that logic, Riddle should get to work wherever he wants forever. Because he hasn't done anything that's, okay. He hasn't been convicted of anything. That has harmed anybody.
Anything, and he hasn't shown up to the wrestling shows high or drunk off his ass and tried to wrestle.
Well, he probably has. We just haven't known it because.
Well, hey, come on now. Jeff Jarrett wrestled high on cocaine for about 25 years. So
that's what I mean. That's what wrestling used to be. They were all coked up out of their minds. Except
How do you explain a single Ultimate Warrior promo? Come on, guys.
It's true. Load it with the rocket fuel. Load it with the words. Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I guess Jeff Hardy, yes, and he's still to this day. It's really weird because he seems to have his shit together for a few years. And that's another group of guys, Matt and Jeff Hardy, I believe their contracts are coming up. Sometime this spring.
Matt Hardy was allegedly at Raw this past week.
Allegedly, he actually was.
Wow!
Rebby's Instagram. They were in the crowd.
Oh my!
Signing autographs at Raw. Yeah, so that's a thing.
Really trying to soak up that Bray Wyatt aura, huh, Matt? That's pretty grim of you. Show back up to be like, Hey, I used to team with Bray Wyatt.
Are they putting Bray Wyatt
hang
in
out
the
with
Hall
me?
Of Fame?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, they have not announced that they're doing so yet, but they've been trickling out the Hall of Fame announcements. I believe it's is widely believed that Bray Wyatt will be announced as a Hall of Fame inductee because his father is a Hall of Fame inductee this
right.
year.
Yes, yes, yes. And they did. They haven't necessarily. Let's see. They haven't really hit a big splash on the Hall of Fame this year, have they? Like, there's been a few.
I think the first Paul one Heyman? They announced, yeah, Paul. I was going to say, Paul Heyman's Paul a pretty, Heyman. A pretty. I mean, as far as figures in the business, you want to talk about people who deserve accolades. He's, yeah, I mean, he's one of the biggest minds in the history of the sport. I would say you could argue that outside of Vince McMahon, Paul Heyman's creative genius has been leveraged to more success than any other creative force in the history of professional wrestling.
If they're going to do Paul Heyman, you know, here's the thing. Okay, so it doesn't, it's a very light class. They haven't announced, in this, we got 2 weeks left till Mania. They haven't announced a big splash yet because you have Bull Nakano, Thunderbolt Patterson, the US Express, Muhammad Ali, which is great. Muhammad Ali is amazing, but again, still, this is wrestling. And then Paul Heyman, who's the big wrestler? Who's the big name? I'm a little surprised that, you know, you got Paul Heyman here. Who from ECW has ever been put in the Hall of Fame? There's a ton of guys, Raven, Tommy Dreamer, Sandman, Rhino, Sabu. Any of those guys, in my humble opinion, could be even considered, especially Rob Van Dam. Rob Van Dam could be considered a WWE Hall of Famer easily.
Rob Van Dam is a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah. He is.
Yeah,
he is
just went in the last couple of years. Yeah.
That's the only one.
But he had a mass, guy. He had a pretty significant WWE career, though, too. There are, you're
that
right. You're right. There are very few. There are guys who have gone in on their WCW merit. But there are not, there's not anybody, I don't think, who's gone in on their ECW merit alone. But no, granted, Paul isn't going to either. Paul is going in because he's, I said, he's been, as far as influential figures in this business, as far as creative minds in the world of professional wrestling, there may be no other person besides Vince McMahon who's been as consistently, like, high level of a contributor and is actually having those ideas like harnessed and turned into an on-screen thing. Because there's just so many ideas that get scrapped up and, you know, torn up and thrown away. But the relationship that Paul and Vince were able to have because they were both promoters and somewhat on the same level at the same time. Like, they weren't really, but they were enough. And Vince knew that Paul knew what he was doing enough to kind of filter Paul's ideas and turn WWF into the product that it needed to become to defeat WCW, right? So Paul deserves it. That's what I'm trying to say. Paul obviously deserves
it.
In my opinion, he is kind of the heavy hitter. When I heard that as the first one, I was like, wow. Because the other thing we need to consider, which I have heard from several different wrestling voices out there, is that it is very possible that Bray Wyatt's, the late Wyndham Rotunda's family may not be ready for this. Like,
that's
essentially
true.
They may have been approached about this, and they, his fiance and his children may not be like ready to, to go through to relive some of these things.
I guess, and I didn't realize this either.
Yeah.
The Hall of Fame, the last few years has been pretty light. Year was only five people. Tim White was the Warrior Award. The celebrity was Andy Kaufman, and then Stacy Keibler, Great Muda, and Rey Mysterio. And that's it. Okay, I'm curious now. I always thought there was like 10 people that went in. Okay, the year before is a little more. Shad Jesper, the Steiner Brothers of big ones. Queen Charmel was inducted by Booker T. She's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's pretty lame, isn't it?
Vader and Undertaker. Okay, that's a big
Vader
one.
Vader bombs all day. Yep, the Undertaker. Vader
bombs all day. Then you got Bradshaw, JBL, the British Bulldog, Jushin Thunder Liger, the entire NWO, the Bella Twins, William Shatner, and Titus O'Neil. Holy shit, yeah. Dr. Death, Steve Williams. Okay, 2020s was huge.
Yeah, but that was the one they couldn't even really do. Like, they had it all planned out, and then they all went in, but they were... So, like, that was the last of the big classes, because that was the last of that era of the Hall of Fame. After that, it became who's willing to show up to this because of COVID.
Oh, interesting.
And now it's a little different, but, like, now Triple H is in charge of the classes.
For the 2021 Hall of Fame was a combined Hall of Fame 2020 and 2021. I guess I never even realized Kane had already been inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yep. He went in before Taker. Yeah, a couple of years before.
Because that year it was Molly Holly, Eric Bischoff, Kane, the Great Khali, RVD, and Ozzy Osbourne. Okay. Well, yeah, dude, I guess I don't know. This, it seems light. It still feels light. Like, there's still a heavy hitter missing. And if they're not going to do Bray Wyatt, which maybe they won't, you know, I agree that the families maybe aren't ready for that. Like, I don't know, man. Come on. Sid Justice is right there. Sid is right there waiting. He's just got a couple more softball games. Give me the call. I just got softball, but as soon as softball's over with that night, I'll be there.
I don't know. They were Big Dave was supposed to go in either 2020 or 2021. And they, like,
what the hell?
They intentionally did not put him in because he was like, I want to do it in front of fans. Like, I want my career to essentially come to an end in front of people. And it's like, okay, yeah, I get that, man. You want your last wrestling appearance to be in front of people. I get that. Yeah. So, but then it's like, yeah, it's been a couple of years. And I'm like, where the fuck are you, Dave? Because I love Dave.
Shit.
Dave was awesome. Dave, I look back on that era now. That ruthless aggression era, the era that nobody fucking watched, the era that you look at, like, what they were doing with the Cruiserweight title, which was nothing, they were doing with the women's title on Raw, which was just so, so cringe-worthy.
Embarrassing.
Yeah. what they were doing with the mid-card divisions. It was like everything they were doing, you look at it now and you're like, ugh. Except for, like, a lot of stuff on SmackDown from, like, a very specific time period. But,
true.
But that was
SmackDown
the era.
Was the wrestler's show.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. There was also a lot of... How do they get on this topic? Shit. What were we talking about?
Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame. We were talking about who? Where were we talking about?
Batista.
That's right. Big Dave, John Cena, who I'm wearing the shirt of tonight, actually. Yeah. Big Dave, John Cena... they carried the torch, man. They were, in my personal opinion, besides, I guess you could say Roman Reigns, and to a very, very, very small extent, Seth Rollins are
sure.
And to a very even smaller extent, Cody Rhodes are the sort of the torch has been passed to them as the new stars of WWE. But to me, John Cena and Batista are the last two guys who the torch was truly, completely, fully, actually passed to them. Like, people put them over, they won, and they were allowed to be on top, and they were allowed to look cool, and they were allowed to get over. Or in the case of John Cena, even going for as far back as 2006, they were forced to get over, whether people wanted it or not.
Right.
But, like, I don't know, even then, Cena still went out there and, like, won every fucking match every night. Every Monday Night Raw was John Cena getting in the fucking ring and wrestling somebody and beating them every Monday night for years. Week in and week out, you watched the main event of Monday Night Raw because John Cena was wrestling, and he's going to wrestle some new heel, and that new heel maybe might have a chance to actually beat him, but no, he definitely is not going to do that. Cena's going to win. And if you were a Cena hater like I was, you watched because of the slim chance that because he was wrestling, he might lose. And if you were a Cena lover, you were watching because you loved him and you wanted him to win these matches. There was an appeal to this era. These guys they contributed to the business in a meaningful way. And I feel like their contributions are almost completely forgotten and skipped over at this point because so many people want to look back to Dwayne and fucking Steve Austin. And they want to look back at this. This is when wrestling was big. this is when wrestling was huge. It's like, I don't know. This Ruthless Aggression era has better live viewing numbers than current day WWE. How is that not worth respecting and celebrating? Right?
Here's a couple names for you, Zach. Triple H, is he in the Hall of Fame yet?
Not individually, no. Which is kind of weird, isn't it? He should be at this point.
The Rock?
The Rock is not. No, not yet.
So this is WrestleMania 40. Why are they not putting either one of them in, or maybe because, both of them in?
Well, Hunter should go in at this point because he's never going to wrestle again. He's never going to wrestle again. But The Rock is wrestling, so I don't think he wants to.
I get that, but Ric Flair wrestled on his retirement.
They don't want to do... I mean, maybe it's a Vince thing, and that's why The Rock feels the way that he does about it, because it's subconsciously he doesn't realize that it's because it's a Vince thing. But Vince didn't put people in the Hall of Fame unless they were done for a long time. Like, that was Edge went into the Hall of Fame in 2012, but that was because the year before, they thought he retired forever. Like,
right, yep.
That's like one of the very few exceptions where a WWE Hall of Famer actually wound up wrestling again. Like, up until that point, if you went into the Hall of Fame, you were done. Like, or at least in Vince's eyes, you were definitely done. Like, you're not coming back to WWE to wrestle in the WWE ring again. And
weird.
Nowadays, I don't know if that's so much the case, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure either. So in interesting news here, I'm looking up stuff while you're talking. But like the Batista, he was officially announced as a future Hall of Fame class inductee. But he is still waiting. Apparently he's been announced, but he's not a part of any specific class yet, according to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
I remember that was a big deal. That was like an actual, like he was ready to go and they still haven't announced him yet. But even with all of this, I love Paul Heyman, but he's going to be the counsel. He's going to be a manager. He's going to be a part of wrestling. He's not retiring from what that is. He never was an in-ring performer to begin with. So I don't know. His Hall of Fame is oddball, other than the fact that he can now call himself a Hall of Fame wise man or Hall of Fame manager or whatever. But Rey Mysterio's wrestled since his Hall of Fame induction too. So I don't know.
That's what I mean. In today's day, it's not really that way anymore. You know, Ray can go into the Hall of Fame. Paul Heyman can go to the Hall of Fame. I think it's Triple H looking at these guys and being like, you know what? It's been long enough. We gotta start drawing from the straws that are left here. And I know you guys still technically work here, but we also need to celebrate you at some point.
But speaking of that ruthless aggression, that really strange oddball period in wrestling when, like, you know, WWE was, you know, knocked from USA Network to Spike TV and, you know, a lot of strange things were happening around that time. SmackDown, notwithstanding SmackDown, because SmackDown was excellent TV. Kurt Angle's, the Benoit's, the Brock Lesnar's, you know, and everything else they were building with that show. But Raw was a very different world and a different landscape. But there was an entire roster of wrestlers, a part of that era, that honest to God seem like they're completely forgotten. Other than the fact that you had like generations before and generations after of wrestlers like Edge and the HBKs and the Triple H's and, you know, the Kurt Angles that wound up becoming longer than that, just that era. But there was a lot of guys that wrestled in just that time period that it doesn't seem like anyone gives a shit about. They never bring them back for big surprise wrestling returns. They never mention them in Hall of Fame moments. Like, it's weird. It's very strange. I'm not saying like, oh, Snitsky needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
I was going
to
say, Gene Snitsky, anybody?
Why not? Why not at least a funny return for him or something? Just something to do like, it's not my fault. You know, come on, like something. Like, I don't know. I think they're missing the boat there. There's a lot of guys that apparently they just dislike, but it's like, it's weird because the 80s guys, they celebrated them. The 90s guys, they celebrated them. The 2010s, they celebrate
them. They are celebrating them. Yeah,
they are. But that weird, you know, that early ruthless aggression, you know, the era of wrestling when it wasn't quite attitude era anymore, but they were still throwing the fucking spaghetti noodles at the wall to see if they would stick. That era completely wiped out. It's really bizarre.
Yeah. It's almost like Vince. Weird. It's almost like Vince was not proud of it in a way. But then again, I guess we need to remember the idea that they did become this PG product, and that era of their product was particularly line pushing. Like I would argue,
yeah,
that the Attitude Era, like, okay. Vince in 2003 did a storyline like where he wrestled Stephanie and a one-legged man, Zach Gowen, in a, like a two-on-one match, and I'm pretty sure he... No, I don't think he won. Not that one. But he like he was wrestling Stephanie for like control of SmackDown and like being very, very like it wasn't good. Like it was just even as a kid, even as a kid, I was like, this is like scary. Like this is like bad. Like I feel like I shouldn't be watching this. It's like so they I mean like the Katie Vick stuff. In the early 02, in like the Triple H Kane thing, like the Triple H's weird racist feud with Booker T, like they're they really did the Billy and Chuck storyline. That particular 2002, 2003, 2000, like maybe that's why that era really disappeared because
maybe
they couldn't really acknowledge a lot of that stuff. I mean, Eddie Guerrero was innocent enough, you know, the lie, cheat, and steal thing. You can go back and you can idolize that and you can make that into what you need to for, you know, continuing to celebrate his legacy. John Cena obviously completely transformed his character into something very different, you know, so his legacy continued on from that point. But like, I don't know, Randy Orton kind of wound up being the same guy. Brock Lesnar obviously wound up kind of being the same guy. Batista was brought through from that era. There are definitely things that came through from it, but you are correct. I never really thought about it that way, but you're right. There are a lot of mid-card figures from that era specifically that really do pretty much go unmentioned or unnoticed. Rene Dupree, you remember that name? He had a lot of potential, like a huge amount of potential, and he was very young when they brought him onto that roster, and he wound up getting himself like drummed out of the company and then never seen again in wrestling. It's like this weird, you're right. It's this weird black hole of relevancy for some of those talent.
Yeah. What about Nydia?
Same thing. Nydia? Yeah. Nydia, Jamie Noble still continuing to work with the company. But like, there's a lot of ideas, a lot of wrestlers. I mean, I was just watching Cultaholic came out with a video this past week ranking the top cruiserweight, like ranking the cruiserweight champions from WCW and WWE. So like starting with when the belt debuted in WCW, ending with Hornswoggle and deactivating it in 07 in WWE. And when they went through that list, I was like, man, like... Yeah, I do remember a lot of these guys and I remember a lot of these people. Like, I remember this belt really well because it was a feature point of this Ruthless Aggression era. But then, like, they just completely, they really shit the bed with it the second time they tried to bring it back to Raw with Pac and then Pac having to drop it to Enzo Amore. That was, the less said about that, the better. But, I thought that I think that the Ruthless Aggression era has some good things, but there's also some things that maybe I do understand why it's not around and why they don't reference it as often as they do.
We'll start we'll upload this episode when it's all said and done. We'll do it with the hashtag of Justice for Rico because we want to see Rico in the Hall of Fame.
I want to see Rico. I want to see Simon Dean,
Chuck Palumbo.
Yep. I want to see Jimmy Wang Yang.
I want to see Rodney Mack. I
want to see Shannon Moore.
That Hall of Fame. Ooh, maybe Luther Reigns.
Oh, that's a good one. The something of Bago Road, Nathan Jones. You remember Nathan Jones?
Nathan Jones.
Jones. I'm from Bago Road. Like
He could be in as like the famous because he wound up becoming a pretty damn good actor. He's a lot of movies.
He's been in a couple of things. Yeah. Nathan Jones. Yeah. Who else? The A-Train.
Tyson Tomko.
Oh, God. Yeah that's right. Strange. He was in WWF first.
It was him and Christian. Charlie Haas. Deuce and Domino. There's a list that goes on and on forever.
Deuce and Domino. Whoa. Wow, I really am getting flashed with all of these memories now. God, I forgot about Deuce and Domino entirely. But Man, that is an era. You know, it's almost like we should go back and revisit that era. Oh, wait. We tried to do that years ago. Nobody wanted to listen to the show, and we didn't want to make it, apparently.
Yeah, so apparently. We stopped it. Who is this one guy? Now, it keeps coming up. Kenzo Suzuki. Who is this?
Oh, dude, great. I remember him. He was tag team champions with Rene Dupree. So,
yeah. Apparently, he was
very flash in the pan. They were really high on him, but he was kind of a flash in the pan. He pretty much disappeared after like a year.
Weird. Yeah,
but he was around. He was around for a good time. He had a manager and everything. Tag team champion. I think he was in line. Like, he might have had a match or two for the U.S. title, but never captured it.
Weird.
Yeah, he was around. Mordecai was a weird character they did for like a week. Pirate Mordecai, Paul Burchill. Yep. And then on the Raw side, Paul Burchill, they had Roddy Mack, 3-minute warning. That was when they brought in Rosie and Jamal, aka Umaga. Rest in peace,
Umaga.
Yeah. I think they both passed, actually. Now that I think of
it. Orlando, you know who could have been an amazing star, but they flopped on big time, was Sean O'Hare.
Yep, Sean. I think he's passed away recently.
I believe you're right.
Yeah. Yep. Rest in peace to Sean O'Hare.
Weird. Sean O'Hare. Yeah,
anyway, crazy. Yeah, crazy amount of talent in that. This guy named no, never mind.
we're gonna go into now. We can
Chavo Guerrero.
Justice for Heidenreich.
Justice for John Heidenreich. Not Chavo. It's very forgotten talent. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, Chavo Guerrero.
Chavo Guerrero. He could be a Hall. I mean, if anybody. I mean, yeah, him or Matt Morgan.
The Blueprint. Oh, God. Was Matt Morgan in both WWE and? Yeah, right?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Was he in
both?
He was
WWE before.
Was he really?
He was considered a dropped talent in WWE, like one that they just didn't do justice for. So TNA was like, well, we're going to take him then. And they used him for like better part of 6 years.
It was a
and
while.
It was a while. He had a longer career in TNA for sure. But yeah.
He weird. Did. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I thought looking back that he might have been in WWE first. Man, that's right. We just literally killed like, I don't know what, 5 minutes on this weird thought train of
bringing up random
mid-carders from the Ruthless Aggression era. I loved the Orlando Jordan pull. Orlando Jordan was a good one.
He was, yeah. Yeah, he could be a Hall of Famer. We got to get one of these guys. We need to get Kenzo Suzuki into the Hall of Fame.
Mr. Kennedy, aka Ken Anderson. Colin Delaney from ECW. Yeah, yeah.
Simon Dean.
Tommy Dreamer. Nova. Everybody hear of him?
Yeah, right. Tommy Dreamer. That's one that I think he should be a Hall of Famer. I don't know what his contract is. I know he's like a head booker in TNA, but I don't know if he's like contractually obligated with them or not. But anyway,
Tommy Dreamer should be a Hall of Famer. But that would be one where it's like, okay, then he really would just be an ECW. Like his ECW work that would have gotten him into the Hall of Fame. That would be
having him inducted alongside Paul Heyman makes sense.
So what you're saying is the big swing to really bring it home for Philadelphia this year. Well, that's the thing. If you think about it, Paul Heyman in Philadelphia is a big deal already. But
all right. Tommy Dreamer.
Bring in Tommy Dreamer.
That ECW chant would be off the charts.
ECW.
It would be.
ECW.
It really would be.
Actually, they might do the Dudleys. Are the Dudleys already in?
I thought they were already in. Yeah, I thought they were already in.
Are they already in? Okay.
They consider themselves two-time Hall of Famers.
Okay, they must be in already then. Yeah, they must be in.
Yeah.
It would have been a good time to do it. Yeah.
I do think Bully Ray, and we are taking a huge off topic PWOT. I think Bully Ray deserves to be in the TNA Hall of Fame on his own if they ever do that.
You're probably right. As much as I dislike his career there. But you're right.
You dislike his career there?
Oh my gosh. Of course.
Singles career there was the best of his life. The best of his entire life.
But I mean, what's that saying? Oh, no. That's saying nothing compared to every other wrestler who's ever stepped in a wrestling ring.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
I
liked Bully Ray. I liked Bully Ray. I liked him as a heel. I liked him in just about everything they did once they turned him heel. Him and Steiner, the Immortal promos. Oh my God, they're so funny. Anyway,
Immortal.
Oh, the producers are saying we're out of time.
No, actually, no joke. We're running up pretty close. But Joshua,
tell the beautiful people where they can find you on the internet.
Oh my gosh! Well, on the internet. Oh my gosh! You guys, you're gonna be so excited, so happy to hear about where you guys can find me. I'm in so many places. I've got so much to say. I've got so many good things to
say. What's wrong with you? Say it then.
Okay, so cool thing is I do stream on Twitch. So if you look up me on Twitch, it's twitch.tv, Joshua Turbo. You can find me on Tuesday and Thursday nights at 9 p.m. I play a lot of retro fun video games and stuff and cool stuff. And this week, we're playing the Jeff Minter LlamaSoft Collection, which is pretty fucking awesome. If you don't know what that is, tune in. It's pretty great. There's 40 plus games, all from the amazing ZX Spectrum, VIC-20, Commodore 64, Atari systems, and all the way up to the newer reimagined versions of those retro games. It's really, really cool, actually. Super fun. And if you want to continue this conversation with me, talk about wrestling, video games, comic books, music, whatever, you could find me on Blue Sky. You can find me on Threads. You can find me on Facebook. Just do a search for @_JoshuaTurbo. Don't forget the underscore, as it is the most important underscore in all of the universe and internet. And if you want to find PWOT, do a simple Facebook search or look us up on your favorite RSS feeds. We are Pro Wrestling Off Topic.
That's right. And
if you, Zach, where can they find you? Where are you at, buddy?
Where am I at? I'll tell you what, Joshua, for a long time, I haven't had anything to report on that front. But that ends today, because I'm breaking the silence. I'm breaking the habit tonight. To quote Linkin Park, I am announcing that I am, and it is my commitment, will be streaming weekly on Monday nights on Twitch and possibly YouTube, if I can get that set up to go live at the same time.
That's amazing. And, that's so exciting.
Go ahead. Cool.
Because what else are you going to do on Monday nights?
Yeah, exactly. What else am I going to do on Monday nights? Certainly not watch fucking wrestling. Never again. Yeah, well, who could ever watch that show? Come on. But the Judgment Day.
There's so much wrestling.
I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm out.
Yeah, they got good music. They got good entrance. They got a good look. They just, as soon as one of them grabs a mic, I'm like, ugh, another 20-minute promo of nothingness. And they look like geeks. They always look like geeks.
Why can't Damian Priest just win the title already? Is that what they're going to do with Drew McIntyre? Drew McIntyre is going to kick Seth Rollins in the face and then drop the belt immediately to Damian Priest? Is that what they're going to do?
Maybe Priest comes out in The Rock and Roman's main event match. Wait a second. Why wouldn't that happen night one? That'd be fucking crazy. Would that be crazy?
Damian Priest shows up and steals the Undisputed title before Roman and Cody's match? I don't think so, dude. No.
You know who would book that? Me. I'd fucking book that because no one would see it coming. That's why Vince Russo's such a brilliant man.
And just to bring it all full circle, it brings it back to, you remember that SummerSlam that they did a couple of years back? You'll never see it coming. That was the tagline for the SummerSlam that Roman Reigns returned to WWE post COVID and began the run that we are seeing right now. The tagline to that event was, You'll never see it coming.
Wow. We have to go back to our memory banks to a different time and a different era to when Roman Reigns first became champion, Zach.
Do you think that we should actually try and review that programming? Because the thing is, that was pandemic year at WWE. That's Thunderdome. That's like going back to watching it in the empty building practically. But
it's a little bit better, but not much better.
It's a little bit better. But the matches are, the matches are still okay. Maybe I'd consider it, but that would also, you'd be opening up the memory box on a lot of things. Bray Wyatt included. Bray was a part of that run. He was the last champion.
As the Fiend.
Who dropped it. Yeah. As the Fiend.
As the Fiend, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that would be something to do. Honestly, if we did an entire conversation episode or something, we could do that. But hey,
That's
a discussion
for another time. And all you fans, we thank you for listening. We thank you for following us as long as you have, if you have, for any amount of time. And we'll catch you on the next one. 161 is done.
161 is in the books.
Peace.
Yeah.
Peace.